I decided to find ways I can make money. You could partner with a brand to help sell their items for them. And whenever you sell it, commission comes in. Affiliate marketing. That's another way too to make money. And one of the ways that came up was to make videos online. I never knew that was a thing. I never thought that you can make videos online and make money. I never in my life.
That's interesting.
That was a thing. I read somewhere online that if you want to be good at something, or if you want to keep on doing something or get addicted to something, do that thing consistently for 28 days. Just 28 days.
Repetition.
Every day.
You know, repetition is the power of all mastery. And that, you know, that process that it took you 5 years, many people would have given up. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Connected Minds podcast. And today, I'm having a conversation that is dear to me because it's connected with health and tech. And everyone that knows me knows that I love tech. And everyone that knows me knows that I'm a pharmacist. Now, today's conversation with Delpy, we're going to delve into how he started this whole tech stuff and how his health condition has helped him to capitalize on all those creative things that he does with people's technologies that they've developed. And I welcome you to Connected Minds podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Derek.
But what was your upbringing like?
So, I'm a first sibling. We're two, myself and my kid brother. And we're basically four in the household. My mom, my dad. Luckily for me, both of them are still alive and we're almost every time together. So my upbringing generally was mostly based on them and how they wanted us to be. You know, your mom is like, don't go here. Don't go out. You're not supposed to be outside. Go inside. You have friends you want to play with. They're like, nah, get back inside. Go and take your book and read. You know, that kind of upbringing, like always tricked. They're very religious people too. They believe in God and then they instilled the fear of God in us. So when it comes to being a church, when it's required, you have to be there. When it comes to morning devotions, we're doing that until recently. That has been a bit of a dilemma because everybody has gotten busy. But as a child, we always did something like that. And then we were brought up in a way to be kind, right? I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I come from a place where some days there was nothing. We only had to close our eyes and hope something would happen, right? And you'd realize that your only hope is God, right? So I've had that belief ever since, thanks to my mom, my dad instilling that, you know, power. I don't know if it's a power or something. Like, it just gave me the belief that, you know.
But why do you think you're not supposed to say that? Because I remember my upbringing as well, where there are times where the cheapest meal we could have was Banku in the morning, Banku in the afternoon, Banku in the evening. It starts the following day as well. Because all we had to do was, when we get that Banku, you know, mom will grind that pepe.
Yeah.
And then one in Chinam, Charlie, we go chop.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, and it's good. That's humble beginnings.
Yeah, very humble. It humbles you.
Yes, yes, yes. And sometimes I wonder how my kids' life would be without them seeing all those things.
You know the funny thing? I'm thinking that I went through that was hardship until my mom starts telling me what she went through. My dad starts telling me that they had to survive on only cassava like for an entire month. So my dad's favorite food is fufu. He doesn't eat anything else. Like, he eats other foods, but he's so into fufu. Like, he can eat fufu in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. It's just because that's how he has been trained, right? And in their time, there was nothing. And then, fortunately, I don't know if I say fortunately or unfortunately, for them, they met the 83 com or how they call it. So they had to move to Nigeria, right? So they moved to Nigeria. They were part of the batch that moved to Nigeria and were pushed out with the
Ghana must go back
thing, yeah. So they had that experience. So they've seen worse, you get it. What I understand is if you have parents who have that kind of experience, right, they know how life looks like. So they make sure that they groom their children in every way possible to avoid things like that. I'm going to be honest, my dad has nothing. My mom, same. But But because of the little they have, right, they make sure they invest it in us no matter what. They would always try their best. If even if it's my mother's mouth, right, like they say it, she'll take it out for us. You get it. So these are parents who were so keen about themselves, about their kids, that they would always, every time, make sure that their kids are in the best position possible than even they are. You get it? Because there's that hope that, I mean, I've taught my kid to be kind. I'm trying to make sure he's the best out there, even though I don't have some. I'm just hoping, right? If the kid is in the right mindset, if they get to somewhere better, they will be happy and proud to at least see their kids in that position, knowing that they were the ones, or they were the stem or the roots for that, you know, kind of glory or grace. So that's been the thing with my parents. And even up to now, yeah, they still do that.
Touching. You know what they say, that hard times create, I think, good men.
Exactly.
You know, so some of the things that we've been through, and anytime someone comes on a show and then we talk, and then they talk about a certain type of hardship that they've been through, I begin to reminisce on
what you have been through.
What I have been through as well. Because as you say, mom and dad have nothing. And I used to have, you know, I'm not saying had, right? But then they gave us everything. And then one of the things that we must also understand is that what mom and dad had was all they had. And that's all they gave us. So we shouldn't put too much expectation on them. Because, you know, when we are young, we think, oh, daddy's got it all figured out.
Yes, daddy's got to give you that money. That's your money.
You know, I'm asking you money. Like, why can't you give it to me? You're an adult.
Yeah.
You're a parent. And we expected them to have it. And I'm sorry to the parents and what we did to them. Because we made them feel as if they were failures. You know? But when you grow up and then you start having your own family, that's when you realize that, nah, that road is tough. Yeah. But with that upbringing, though, then how did you get yourself into tech?
So, let me give you a brief story. My mom always wanted to be able to provide things for me, right? But she couldn't. You get it? My first smartphone, I bought it myself. Most of the technological devices that I had as a kid, I wanted to get a Bricks device. Like, you know, Bricks, right? I was so eager to get that Game Boy, those things. They couldn't get me one. There's something they couldn't. But I had the zeal for things like that. And it was until level 100, first year. Then the desire for technology really manifested itself, right? In Accra Polytechnic. That's where I went for my school. So since my mom wasn't able to do those things, she felt bad, right? But my auntie gave me a laptop. She was leaving to the US. And then she gave me a laptop. This is the laptop I used to go to the university. Because if you're going to university, everybody needs a laptop. There's that analogy. And I'm grateful to her for that, because that's changed everything. Mm. And you know, when my auntie gave me that laptop, because my mom was scared, I wasn't in school yet. I had to work for 1 year to get fees for the university. So I was teaching. I taught in class 2. And my auntie gave me the laptop prior, like a whole year before the school. My mom took the laptop and hid it. With the intention that if I spoil that laptop right now, because she was scared that she won't get the money to buy a new one for me. So she hid the laptop and put it under my bed. My own bed. And I never thought she'd put it there to get it. So when I was working, something like that happened. We used to sleep under one roof. Like, there's a house we've built. My dad has built, but he couldn't complete it. So we were just under one roof. One roofing where we were all sleeping, my mom, my brother, myself, and then my dad. Right. So it's until later on when they started improving the other parts, and now it's all done. So that side was something I never thought the laptop would be. So I came out from school. I used to teach, like I said. So I came from school. I don't know what happened. I stepped on the laptop unknowingly. I think maybe somebody went to take something under the bed. I don't remember what happened. All I noticed was I came out from work, came to sleep, and when I woke up descending the bed, I stepped on it and I broke the screen.
Ooh.
Come and see my mom. So frustrated. But luckily, I was working, so I had to take some of the money from there. I think the amount to fix the screen was like 250. That was like in 2016, 2015-ish. And then we used some of the money from it to fix it. Ever since then, I told myself that I'm going to do as much as possible to not put my mom in such a situation again. Because of how bad she felt about the laptop getting spoiled. She was so frustrated. Because, look at it this way. She wasn't frustrated just because the laptop was spoiled. She was frustrated because I might probably go to school and I wouldn't have a laptop. And she can't afford to get me that. And maybe my friends might be laughing at me in school.
Mm.
Or my friends might see me as somebody who is inferior.
Mm.
Right? And that's what I'm saying. This is the kind of woman, this is the kind of mom God blessed me with. Right? So I spoke to myself and I was like, nah, this is not going to happen. This is something I don't want to see itself repeating again. So fast forward, we went to school, level 100. And then before then, where I was teaching at, there was a guy who was very good with laptops. He was changing people's Windows operating systems for them. I asked him to teach me. He said, you teach me. Because he does it for a job. Like, right. You do it and then he'll charge you. So I just was working with him every time. Then low-key learning. He didn't know I was learning. Even though he was doing it. Because he's always doing it in front of me. But he didn't want to teach me. So I had to learn on my own. Then I used it on my laptop. The same laptop my auntie gave me.
Right.
Changed the operating system. First time, worked perfectly. Then I took it to school. So we were in school. Everyone comes to me for problems with their laptops. Surprisingly, I wasn't even that good. But because I did that thing, everyone comes to me like, oh, my laptop is doing this. Can you help me with it? My laptop is breaking down. Can you help me with it? I want to close my laptop and still have the screen active. Can you help me do that? That was when I found the power of YouTube.
Right.
So when they were coming with questions, I was using the search engine as my tool. And even up to now, I still do that. If somebody asks me for something and I don't know, I have no idea. If you know on Instagram, and maybe I'm leaking a secret here. People will come to me and they'll ask me that they have a problem with their phone. All I have to do is just Google the problem. Maybe have my keywords right. And the solution is almost every time there. Even if it's not there, to lead you to a way or a route where you can always find a way to do it. So the search engine has been my friend, especially for YouTube, Instagram. It has been my friend ever since. And funny enough, after all of that, because school pressure was so much on me, I was doing laboratory technology. We're doing like 11 subjects or 11 courses in a semester. So it was a lot. I decided to find ways I can make money, right? With the thought of, nah, I want to change my mom's future. I want to change my mom's life. So ways I can make money online. And one of the ways that came up was to make videos online. I never knew that was a thing. I never thought that you can make videos online and make money. I never in my life.
That's interesting.
That was a thing, right? So YouTube was an example. I was like, okay, cool. And maybe I'll send you a link after here.
Yeah.
The first video I did was how to close your laptop and make it and keep the screen on. Because if people wanted to close their laptop and still listen to music, they wanted to close their laptop and maybe there's a video playing or something, they want to listen to a podcast or something. And they were coming to me in class. So I made that video, posted it there, that anytime somebody asked me that video again, because it was too repetitive, I'll just send it to them. That way, I started learning how to edit videos and how to shoot them. But I wasn't shooting videos then because I was only screen recording my laptop. So basically what I was doing was screen record, edit, upload to YouTube. And I didn't really care. Because, and there's one thing, if anyone is going to YouTube or start creating content, they should understand. When I read the article online, the highlight of that article was, you will definitely make money out of this if you're consistent and you don't give up. Because what you need to do is to understand that it's long term. The rewards might come in a long term. So I put it in the back of my mind, okay, let me just do it as a hobby. Right? As a helpful hobby. Instead of, I like tech. So let me just use that side. Because people ask me, why are you not talking about laboratory stuff? Why are you not going to something you're learning? I'm just doing that because my dad probably wants me to be a science student or something. So I'm just using that as a career path. But not something I'm deeply passionate about. Right? So, yeah, we went into doing videos on that. And then I contacted a friend of mine who surprisingly were in the same class. Had knowledge about making videos. He had the thoughts. He knew how to make videos already. And I was like, Charlie, let's collab. Let's work together on this channel. And we started making videos from there. Started talking about technology. And then it took off years after. It was like 4-5 years after the channel was established. But yeah, that has been the journey. My, should I say, future habits and trying to help people in class. And my auntie giving me that laptop changed everything. God bless you, Auntie Abena.
God bless you, man. And what? 5 years after the first content, when you guys actually realized the channel blowing up.
So the channel didn't actually blow up. We decided to adapt. And then it took off.
Right.
So it's crazy. We moved from making long form to reels and TikToks.
And that's one of the things as well. You know, people don't understand the power of consistency and repetition, you know, showing up every time. And that a lot of the things that you're going to do, even if it's simple things as going to the gym to work out, to build muscles, repetition, just make it happen. It. Just keep repeating it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, how did we learn our ABC? Repetition.
Every day.
You know, repetition is the power of all mastery. And that, you know, that process that it took you 5 years, many people would have given up.
2017.
Yeah. Yeah. Many people would have given up. You've done a great job.
Thank you.
You know, like I was saying, that if we think that content creation is at its peak now, wait until your children have children.
Yes.
You know?
That statement actually hits me.
Yeah. Wait until your children have children, because that's when this thing is going to fly. Because we still have a big chunk of generation who don't understand tech, like my parents and their parents. But then after some time, all those generations are going to wipe away. And then every individual on earth is going to know about solid technology and operate by it. And that's the time all this content that you're creating is going to fly.
Yeah.
Because you would have left them there if you're still around, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Now, there were a few things that we were speaking about, which is when talent meets business. Which is, so now you love it, you enjoy it. It's an amazing hobby, you know. You can't wait to sit in front of the camera to answer somebody's questions and create beautiful content about it. But then how do you actually monetize that content?
So many ways, actually. With YouTube, for instance, we know we have AdSense, where YouTube actually pays you every month, depending on your threshold, if you have over $100. And that's based on the number of views, the CPM, too much technical stuff. But, you know, just have a lot of views. And if you're monetized, you're rest assured that you get money at the end of the month, at least if you have $100 in there. So that's one way. Unfortunately for us, the other social media platforms like TikTok and Instagram don't pay here in Ghana, but Facebook does. So Facebook also has the AdSense feature. But their system is also different. But the other way, which is much more heavier than what YouTube actually gives you, because YouTube's one is not consistent. I mean, if you haven't gotten a number of views yet, you're not getting money, is brand sponsorships or brand deals. So there's a point where, you know, you get the numbers, and then the brands want to market their stuff through your platform. So all you need to do is to, you know, talk about the product, and they ask you, oh, how much you can charge for this product? Give them your rates and you're good to go. And that way you get something from them. So that's the major way. Then selling digital products or selling a product itself. So if you're somebody who has, let's say if you're a fashion influencer, right? So you're a fashion content creator, you make stuff around fashion, you can channel that into selling outfits. You don't necessarily have to sell outfits. You could partner with a brand to help sell their items for them. And whenever you sell it, commission comes in. Affiliate marketing. That's another way to make money. Then there is the digital stuff where maybe as a tech content creator like this, I could make a digital product. Recently, one of the tech content creators, Rick, made a wallpaper pack, posted it, and started selling it. Get it? So you can make things like that. And then just put a link or tell your people about it that you're selling this stuff now. Ideally, I have actually started a partner with someone to start selling smartphones to my audience. Because what I realized is they don't really trust people outside. But I have built a platform where people trust me to do these things. I review smartphones. I know how the smartphones work. I know which one is good, which one is bad. So somebody who could easily come to me and then say that, oh, I want to buy a smartphone. Do you think it's good for me? Where can I get it? I'm your guy, right? So that's another way too you can make money. So basically, affiliate marketing, selling products online, and then brand sponsorships or brand partnerships, and then the YouTube AdSense and Facebook thing. Basically, that's how we monetize it.
Yeah. So if you recall what I just said, like about content creation blowing up in the future a lot more. In fact, tech as a whole. Now, anytime I do any business, right, one of the things I think about is how do we make this future proof? So somebody, you know, doesn't just come in and then, you know, the whole business that you have just goes away.
Boom.
Now, how do you make sure that the sort of things you're doing is future proof?
I actually have, you know, longevity is what most of the content creators look at. Most, I don't know about other creators, but personally is what I look at. So most of my contents are evergreen. For instance, there's a video on YouTube I did like 2 years ago, and up to now it still fetches me money. Not too much, but if YouTube is supposed to pay me, that video is like more than half the percentage of the reason why YouTube gives me money, right? Because of how evergreen it is. So I'm mostly focused on evergreen stuff to make sure that it stays for long. It has to have value that even if people from newer generations come, they would always go back to look for it, right? This laptop video thing, I mean, it's not fetching me money, but if somebody wants it, they'll go looking for it. The video I'm talking about was a video about a smartphone, Huawei devices. You see, when Huawei migrated from the Google thing to their own stuff, people were finding it difficult to move their contacts. But people are still buying Huawei devices. They're not going to stop. And as a result of that, it gives people the chance to come online to find how they can migrate their contacts. Quickly did a video, and up till now, since they're banned, till now, it gathers a lot of views every time.
I've
made some tips on how you can use your WhatsApp account, like some WhatsApp tricks and things as well. Everybody uses WhatsApp. Every new student out of SHS will download WhatsApp. Everybody is trying to use WhatsApp at the point. So if there's anything they need, immediately they search for anything related to WhatsApp, they would have that video pop up. That video too is doing well. There are more videos, some I don't even remember. But the goal is to make sure you're making evergreen content. And even though now I'm not focused on that, I still, in the future versions where I'm quite comfortable enough to talk freely about these things, I would love to do more evergreen content. Like, for instance, why do batteries have this maximum capacity? Why don't you have to charge your smartphone when it's fully charged? Like, these are content people will be searching for, not now, but in the coming future, people would like to know these things. So yeah, basically evergreen content and making sure it stays for long, for a very long time.
Amazing. Yeah. And I think really that's it. I watched an interview of yours and you spoke about you having ADHD. And I think it was a live that you did.
Yeah.
And I usually don't go on Instagram Live to watch other people. But when I saw it was you, I wanted to know who you were speaking with and what you were talking about. And as soon as I click on it, I think I came at the right time. As soon as I came, it was you talking about ADHD.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know a bit more.
So, I mean, just like the name says, attention deficit
hyperactive disorder. Yeah.
So basically what happens is, I mean, generally, I didn't even know I was that way. Because most of the things I was doing, like talking to you now, I realized I'm phasing out. You know, where am I? What's happening? What did I want to say? I've forgotten myself. It became too much. It became so rampant and often. So I had to question myself. Then, you know, I had to see the psychiatrist to make sure everything was... And me talking to you, my parents don't know about this. They haven't heard about it because I didn't want to bother them with it. But basically what ADHD is everybody and how theirs is, you know. But generally what happens is your attention becomes shorter. Or smaller. You tend to forget things more often. And this is not a diagnosis. I'm not diagnosing anyone here. But you end up forgetting yourself a lot. You end up finding it difficult to do things you would usually do freely. You find yourself procrastinating a lot too as well. These are some of the symptoms that I gathered. And there are some other ones. There's something known as RSD too that comes to people with ADHD. You become emotionally... Like, there's so much, right? But basically, it's all about your attention and how smaller it becomes. I feel like recently, the amount of content we consume as well has an effect or has a factor. I'm not a doctor, but I feel like, because now you go onto the internet and everybody's making like 30 seconds videos. Initially, we would all like to watch like a full YouTube video, but now you can't even sit through a full movie and watch all of it without having to fidget on your phone or get lost in the movie and then rewind it back to see, oh, what happened here? Then proceed, you get it. So I feel like all of these things are factors that are affecting us. And some people might think ADHD is not real. It's not a thing because everybody gets to forget things in a while. But I personally think that it's actually real. And as I've been diagnosed and taking care of it as well, it's something that I personally wouldn't advise anyone to take drugs to fix it. You get it. You can always try and then keep yourself in sharp focus. Do things that will keep you in focus, right? And yeah, basically, I'm probably digressing, but that's basically what ADHD is.
When you are sitting in a conversation with a pharmacist and then you are telling people that they shouldn't take drugs for it.
No. That's not the problem.
And then I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you need medication, you know? And then you are like, nah, I don't think so.
I mean, there's a point. Right?
I tell you what, even in conventional medicine style,
mm-hmm.
there is lifestyle advice.
Okay.
And then there is the pharmacological intervention.
Right.
Which will be the medication that a patient will have to take.
Exactly.
And then, of course, on top of that, then I give you the lifestyle advice. Okay. Right. So what you recommend is that people who have been diagnosed should strictly go with the lifestyle.
No, I'm not saying they should strictly go with that. Right?
Or they should do some herbal medicine.
They shouldn't rely on the
herbal medicine.
Superior. But I'm not saying they should not take the drugs, right? They shouldn't rely solely on it. You get it?
Yeah.
You're a pharmacist, right? If somebody has ESD, will you advise them to always use Viagra?
It depends on the age.
So you know the implications that come with it?
Oh, yes, of course, I do.
Good. That's the same thing I'm saying. You know, you don't necessarily have to adapt to the drugs alone, right? Take the drugs. It's prescribed for you.
It's true. It's true. Except that there are certain medical conditions that if you don't take the drugs, and you don't make the lifestyle changes and you don't monitor the condition, you can actually die.
I'm not saying you don't take the drugs.
I'm not saying ADHD can make you die, but I'm talking about certain conditions.
Yeah.
You know, certain conditions. But I think you have a point there. Me personally, I'm probably not supposed to be saying this because I'm a pharmacist. I'm not a pro medicine. It's just what I happen to do.
Yeah.
And I think the advice you're giving is fine. Exactly. If there are other things you can do, other ways you can do to make yourself feel better,
exactly,
you should certainly do that. But I'm guessing based on that, you haven't taken any medication. You're saying to yourself, nah, I'm not taking.
I mean, the only medication I'll probably take is water. And I drink water a lot. You know, I could take gallons of water in a day. Somebody was like, that's the reason why I'm tall or something. Like,
I'm going to drink a lot of water then.
Water doesn't necessarily make you feel tall. But it's one of the coolest factors, right? Anytime I feel like, so you put measures in place. I have a sticky note. Right. Or I have my notes, my diary. Anytime I try to do something and because a video idea pops up, I'm thinking about how I'll shoot it because I don't script. So if you see me in my room, you feel like I'm a mad person. I'm always talking. Like, how would I deliver this video? This is one of the best mobile apps you've ever come across. I'm practicing how I'd say the video before, you know, in front of the camera, before I sit in front of the camera and then talk. And this is something that if I don't pen down, if I don't write it down, in the next 1 hour, I wouldn't remember what I was talking about. I wouldn't even remember the topic. And I'll be scratching my head, trying to remember, what was that about? I know I said I'll make a video. What video was it? Yes. So if you see my phone, the Samsung notes, because I'm with my phone a lot. But I don't really like typing on my phone, like typing notes on my phone. It's something I'm not a fan of. But most of the time, because I'm on my phone, I keep it in there. Then when I get to a place where the diary is, I write it down. So maybe coming to this place right now, I have some video ideas. My phone is the one closer to me. So I type it in there. Then when I get home, in my diary, straight forward. So the diary is almost full safe. Because I write everything down. If I'm supposed to see something script word by word, I write it down. Even though in the video, I might not say the same thing. I'll end up not saying the same thing, but it will be similar. So that's one thing I do. Make sure that if the idea comes up, write it down. I jot it down just to keep track of it, because that helps me remember what I'm supposed to say. Then other measures, like things that will make me remember stuff. So sometimes I put my phone somewhere and I don't remember where I put it. This happens to almost everybody. This is not ADHD. But with ADHD, it's sometimes it's terrible. Like you completely forget yourself in the space. So I intentionally put my phone somewhere. And then when I'm putting it down, I tell myself that, yes, this is where I put it. I remember. Then I go and do whatever I'm supposed to do. Then it helps me remember that I said this at this point, at this place. So let me just go back to the place.
Should I blow your mind?
Blow me.
You know what you just said? Sometimes, yeah, I tell myself I'm putting this pen here. And this is where I'm putting it. At least you remember. I will still forget. I definitely have ADHD. Yeah.
So the environment makes me remember.
Right.
Like, I'm not so far from the place. I try to recall, where have I been? Right? I've been here. Let me go look for it. And majority of the time, 100% of the time, I might not find it. And my brother is always going to help me find it. Yes. So it's like, it's one of those things. But hopefully, these are measures, you know, as somebody, you come to identify the problem and then you tell yourself that, yes, you remember, right? So you try and figure it out, fight it, and then, you know, try and fix it and correct it. You get it. Because you don't want it to get to an extreme point. You don't ignore it. Like you're saying, if you want to go to the gym, focus, practice, consistency. Make sure you're doing it over and over again. I was dying in a podcast talking about the reading stuff, which we'll get into in a bit. I need to say something. I read somewhere online that if you want to be good at something, or if you want to keep on doing something or get addicted to something, do that thing consistently for 28 days. Just 28 days. I don't know how true that is. So when I was a kid, I was in class 5. I didn't like reading. I was like, okay, let me just go to the library, pick a book, read the book every day. If I finish the book, pick another one, read it. Do the reading thing for that 28 days. And it worked. I liked reading books during that time, from class 5, class 6, form 1, until form 2. When I think the education was BEC was approaching, and sorry, from JHS 3 was approaching, and you know, the thought of BEC, laziness set in, and I stopped reading a while and then it got off. But testing that theory proved that theory correct, right?
It works like magic, you know. Have you ever been like being the kind of guy where you go to a gym, right? And then you see this guy who's hench,
very,
buff. And you are like, if I was like this guy, I would probably stop coming to the gym. Like, this is where I'm trying to get to. Now, if you backtrack, you realize that the reason why that guy has got the body he has is because he's come every single
day.
Yes.
Is that day and night?
And then you have these rich people who have got so much money. You're like, oh, you have so much money. You should stop. Like, if all I need is, let's say, 1 million. But then they keep going. And the reason why they have that much money is because they keep working at it.
They're working every time.
Yes. And if they stop, they wouldn't have as much money as you think they have.
Exactly.
So in everything that we do, we must understand the power of repetition.
Exactly.
I remember I used to do a tally.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first started working out and listening to motivational messages at home, as soon as I wake up, I do a tally. Like today, I'm exercising. And as soon as I finish, I do my mark. Then I listen to my message, I do my mark. And I did it for 60 days. Every day for 60 days. And now, if I miss it in a week, maybe I miss it twice or three times.
But you always go back.
I've been doing it. It hasn't stopped. So it works, yeah.
And that's why I mostly commend these apps that have the streak thing in there. Not Snapchat. Sometimes it's different. Sometimes it's not. But, but the YouVersion Bible app, for instance, For those of you who are mostly religious, you realize that there's a streak thing in there. So anytime you open your Bible, it gives a streak of you coming to the Bible today, tomorrow. And if you don't, all the streak goes off.
That's very good.
So if you're somebody who doesn't read your Bible a lot, it will ginger you to read your Bible because you want to keep that streak. You will do it unknowingly. It's not like you really care about the streak or... But you not wanting to lose that streak would want you to.
Yeah, it's a check on you.
Exactly.
You know, it's a check on you. And it makes you follow up, you know, and do it all the time.
Exactly.
And I'll never let this word leave my mind. Repetition.
Repetition.
It's the master of, like, all things that man wants to do, repetition of any success, any level. Because if you show up today and you don't show up tomorrow, you're not going to see anything.
Yeah.
You know? So I think there's a quote that says that whatever the case is, just show up every day.
Yeah.
Just show up. Just dress up and show up.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. I wanted to talk about the level of, you know, discipline, right? That you had to put together to be able to carry on. Because I know you showed up, but then what level of discipline did you require?
I don't know how to put it, but I felt like I didn't have anything to lose, right? Because then what's the point? Like, if I stop now, why am I stopping? Because in the beginning, I said I started this as a hobby. So why am I stopping? You get it? The only thing that was going to stop me was a natural disaster. Like, either an earthquake or a flood or something. You know, there are times where in my room, because that's where I shoot my videos from, my bedroom, I realized that I mounted some wood to put lights on just to make sure it looks like these lights. That was the kind of dedication I had. My dad helped me do that.
Oh, wow.
It was like a Jesus Christ pole, like the cross, right? And then we nailed bulbs in them. Like, I think there were 2 or 3 bulbs in them. Because
right.
In my mind, and that has helped me a lot with my videography stuff. When people watch my videos, like, how did your video? Your video is very lit. Like, it's crisp. Even when I'm using a Canon M50, people don't expect that camera to have that output. It's not the camera. It's the kind of experience I got from being persistent and disciplined about what I wanted. I know the kind of value or the kind of content I wanted to make, right? So I wanted to make it look appealing, even with the little things that I have. I was shooting with an S7, a Galaxy S7. I was trying my best. I mean, my mom doesn't hate the idea that I'm doing this. My dad is in support of it in his own way. So what's stopping me? All I have to do is to make sure that I don't disappoint them. And you know your parents, when they decide to support you with something, no matter how ugly it is, they are always that you do. It's nice. This is beautiful. Keep on doing it. Like that morale, you know. So you don't set yourself up to disappoint them, right? You stop. Why did you stop? Because you're not getting views, right? There are people in your same category that you're probably better than. There are people you've seen make it that you've looked up to. When we started doing this Instagram thing, right, we had a challenge that we are trying to upload a video from the beginning of the year till the end of the year, every day, without missing an upload. And you know what happened? We didn't start at the beginning of the year. It was later until, I think, March, June-ish, then we started that challenge where we're uploading every day. We saw a significant increase, very slow, until July. September took off. I think in August, with TikTok, not Instagram even, with TikTok, in August, the video took off. Videos took off, started getting followers, 20,000, 10,000 in a day, straight to 50K on TikTok. In just that 1 month, out of consistency and discipline, to tell myself that, hey, I want to upload a video every day. I even suggested that, let's do 3 videos in a day, right? Because I wasn't working. I'm not doing anything. I used to work at Voltic, but due to personal reasons and health concerns, I wouldn't want to really convey that here. I decided to come out of the job, right? So I applied for jobs after that. I even had to walk through the sun to send my application. I don't know what happened. I didn't get a call back. Nobody did it several times. Had an interview, luckily, with Zipline. Didn't get a job after like 3 consecutive interviews with them. And then I was like, nah. No, I'm not doing this again. I'm not doing this kind of thing again. It's wasting my time. Let me just invest that time into making videos and making content. 1 week, 2 weeks after consistently putting out videos, I was fortunate enough to be with the media team on Samsung. We won a challenge where I got the Z Flip 3. That was the Z Flip 3 then. Sold it quickly. Got a camera. Upgraded the gear. Because what do I do with the Z Flip 3? I mean, if you're not supposed to sell it, you get it. So another thing too is, out of the discipline, I was reinvesting into the crowd, hoping, right? I didn't have any, you know, thing to hold on. So all I had to do was just, okay, this thing I'm risking to buy, this quality I want to get, buying the camera, let me just try and see if it works, right? Let me just hope it works. I want to do this. No matter what happens, I'll go ahead and do it. Kept on doing it, pushing it, doing it, pushing through. I mean, there are times where you upload a video, you have just 10 views. Actually, the video I uploaded before coming here, it's doing poorly. But I don't let it affect me, right? Even though in the beginning, you'd have the itch. You just have to understand that you don't always have control over the number of people that see your videos, right? Even though they're following you, you can't force them to watch your videos. So the discipline is like the mindset, the zeal to make sure you're winning, and then looking back at where you're from and understanding that it's either this or nothing.
Delpy.
Yes, sir.
What's your morning routine like, if you have any?
I do. I don't think I do, but it's just random, spontaneous. So basically, yeah, if I'm supposed to shoot a video, if it's a day for videos, because I have days I shoot and edit, right? And days for other activities, because most of the time you have to be at an event, we have a meeting, we want to talk, let's do something, you have to move around. So I have apportioned Mondays as the days I shoot all my videos. Batch film, that's like 10, 12. If I can go 20, I do it. But the sad part with going for 20 videos is because you sometimes forget that you have so many videos you have to get editing. So sometimes you forget. Later on, you remember that, oh, I shot this video. But yeah, basically, I wake up in the morning, the normal things, wash your face, brush your teeth, you know. But before that, my YouVersion Bible app would have alerted me that, hey, you're supposed to open the Bible today. Yeah, so I'm going to be honest. I've skipped a lot of days recently. So my streak is even dead. But generally, I'm supposed to be doing that. Read the Bible, get along with the devotion for the day, be thankful, wake up, and then straight to my workspace to see if I have anything unedited. Even without washing my face, so then go ahead to wash the face, come back inside, and then start working, looking through emails to see which ones I need responding to. Texting mostly, especially on WhatsApp, because most of my activities are through WhatsApp. So I'm mostly on WhatsApp. I check through the Instagram comments. That's something somebody needs help with. Go to the request because it's very essential. Most of the time, the good stuff are in the request. I don't know why Instagram does that. And even if you don't take care, there's a hidden request in the request.
Okay.
Yeah. So I check through all of that. But mostly what's in the hidden request are sexual people who have created groups they've added you to. Those OnlyFans, unnecessary stuff. So those things are mostly deleted right after. But yeah, that's it. Sometimes I forget to take breakfast. That's a bad habit.
But it works. It works for you. Yeah. Most of the time, I don't take breakfast. Yeah, most of the time.
I just eat like once or twice in a day and then I'm done. And yeah. So basically focused on the job, the work. Talk to friends for a short while, then continue. So yeah, sometimes I had to, like last 2 days, like I had to stay through the night to edit the video because I had to push out 3 videos at once. One YouTube, 2 Instagram reels. So I had to make sure I was doing everything possible. Most of the time, and people think it's weird because I don't go anywhere, by 4:35, I'm up.
Okay.
The latest or the, yeah, I've been asleep is around 8. I woke up at 8. And I think even now, it's not really well. I was just tired. But 5:36, if I wake up at 7, I feel like I've delayed so much in bed. Yeah, so 4:35, my eyes are open, lying in bed, and then probably, you know, planning and plotting.
Planning and plotting.
Yeah. So yeah, basically that's the routine. It's not routine, it's spontaneous.
Right.
You know,
right.
There are days I just wake up and I'm really just, oh, I have to be somewhere, so I'm going. Right. So that's
so like sometimes you may do them, sometimes you know you don't. I don't. Do them. Yeah. It happens as well. I think you mentioned this book when you were speaking about Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Yeah,
that was the second book I ever read.
Awesome.
Second book I ever read, and it was amazing. Like it was such an eye-opening
experience.
Yeah, to read that book because. You know, Kiyosaki is a genius.
Yeah.
I still follow him. I still have a game, actually, that he made called Cash Flow Quadrant.
Oh, no idea.
Every now and then I play with my family. Yeah, it teaches you how to buy stocks. Oh,
yeah,
the game in the
book. Yeah.
It's a whole board game. It's like Monopoly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really very useful, actually. Very useful, where you write the stocks you bought, like, you know, instead of just playing
normal Monopoly. Yeah, they have it in the stores?
Yeah, check on Amazon. You can get it. Yeah, cash flow quadrant.
Cash flow quadrant, okay.
But thank you so much for this conversation.
Bro.
Because what I like about it is the fact that you allowed yourself time from all the work that you had to do to focus on your craft, which is very important because a lot of the time people don't realize that the longer you stay in the matrix, the 9 to 5, the less you can work on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes if you can just do 2 hours a day at work and spend the rest of the time on what you believe would work for you, something for yourself, it's more important, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so thank you so much. Thank you, we appreciate this. And I hope that this pod goes far. People listen to it and then they learn what they're supposed to learn.
They sure will.
We shall talk more, Charlie.
We will talk more, Charlie.